Welcome everybody to a special bonus episode of the Blue Skies Dronecast. Now this is a very quick episode, more of an update I suppose really, because the CAA have actually announced their reply I suppose really to, or their response I should say, to extending the provisions for legacy and the transitional category of the UAS aircraft. So I've got Adam with me here as well. How are you doing, Adam? All right?
All good. So just so everyone's aware, this is the 17th of June today. So hopefully this will be going out today, 17th
yes.
of June, which is a lovely sunny day and we're both stuck indoors.
Which is why we're recording as early as possible to make sure that it's not sweltering and we don't get a meltdown on the system. So yeah, so this is the idea. So we've got the document open. This has literally just been kind of sent out to people, hasn't it, Adam? I'm not sure, was it last night or...
I mean, we got first kind of notification last night. I think most people kind of have only just realised within the last sort of, yeah, less than 24 hours. So it's pretty hot off the press almost.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and obviously we did mention this in the podcast several episodes ago, I suppose, and hopefully a lot of you went to the CAA's website and filled in the sort of the form with the questions, and this is basically the result of the poll. So I guess we'll quickly just explain kind of what it was all about if you haven't heard about this. And then we'll talk through the results and potentially what it means for us. And I think, not to spoil the end of the podcast, it looks like a good result and quite an interesting one from our point of view, doesn't it, Adam?
It's looking positive, or it's a step towards a positive outcome, hopefully.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. So, okay then, so let's kick off with kind of the background, Adam. So maybe if you want to just sort of give us a quick overview as to kind of, you know, what are we talking about?
Okay, so if you're not already aware, then you've been hiding under a rock. The legacy transition period is due to end on the 31st of December 2022 or the 1st of January 2023, depending on which kind of date you kind of interpret.
Six months or so, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
Roughly 6 months, yeah. At that point, all legacy drones are currently only be able to be flown within the A3 subcategory. You won't be able to use your A2 CFC to fly sub 2 kilogram drones in the A2 or A1 subcategory, depending on which drone you're flying. Now, obviously, this has caused a bit of kind of a bit of a bone of contention for a lot of people because, you know, it's only been 2 years since we adopted the new regulations. And that 2 years has flown, absolutely flown by. that was an unintended pun. The other issue we have is no certified drones have currently hit the market, and there's a number of reasons for that. The primary one being that there's not an authorised body that's been set up to essentially certify the drones.
Yes.
So, and that's both in the UK specifically. In Europe, I think the last time we checked, there's only been one body set up. So the EU actually, quite a few months ago now, did a consultation about this, and they've extended the legacy transition period by 1 year. So now it's going to go right till the end of 2023 rather than the end of 2022. So the CAA have gone, okay, we probably best take a look at this because we're falling behind. So they did this consultation, asked everybody, what do you want? You know, do you want us to extend it by 12 months, 24 months, or more than 24 months? You know, and why? You know, give us your opinion. And they've taken all that on board and presented us with a nice response. Now, the key thing we've got to remember here, and this is actually in the document itself, is the CAA can't change legislation. All the CAA can do is take their opinion to the Department for Transport, to government, and say, look, this is what we think you should do to change legislation. So it's not actually up to the CAA. They provide the guidance, the opinion, they pass it to government, and the government go either, yep, great idea, let's put it through Parliament, or they'll go, nah, that's a rubbish idea. We're going to stick with what it is. So what we're saying in this podcast isn't concrete. This is just the opinion from us, from the users, going to the CAA and then their response to the Department for Transport.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's it. And again, I guess they're kind of a bit of a go-between, aren't they? Which is nice for once. I think it feels like we've been listened to and they're taking exactly what we think over to the government, which is really good, I think. So out of sort of all the people that have replied. So they've got a total of 4,506 responses, which is quite low, I think, really, actually. And we were quite surprised, Adam, weren't we, that that's not many people at all, in theory, but they didn't make such a thing of it. They didn't kind of advertise it. They didn't email it out to a drone operator. So I guess it's just word of mouth, really, isn't it?
That's it. So, I mean, yes, I suppose it sounds quite big, but actually there's about, I think there's over 100,000 registered remote pilots. I think it's about that. I mean, there's got to be, and we've done over 6,000 remote pilots who have done the A2 certificate of competency with ourselves. So, you know, that's just with us. That's not including any of the other RAEs out there. So a relatively small response from the public, but it's still an important one, because I think the numbers that we're about to kind of go through show the majority of the opinion, I think, of what other operators, if they responded, probably what would they would say.
Exactly, yeah, that's it, yeah. So just to quickly recap over the questions then that they asked. So would you be in favour of extending the provisions for legacy category UAS in the open category was the first question. And almost 98% of those 4,500 said yes, they would like to extend it. So I think we were probably expecting that, Adam, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised there were 71 people that said no, 20 that said don't know, and I'd love to know why. Yeah, I'd love to speak to those people. Like, why do you think this is a bad idea?
But you've got to this page, and now you don't know. That's an interesting one as well, isn't it? You don't know why. That's interesting. Okay, well, anyway, that's quite a landslide, I think, for that one. So that was great. And then the next one, over what additional period should the extension for the legacy category be valid? So the first option, as Adam said, was 12 months. We've then got 24 months, and then we've got longer than 24 months. So 12 months got about 2%, 2.5%. So, yep, not very popular. 24 months got 25%. So, yep, getting better. But the majority, again, went with longer than 24 months, which was about almost 71%. So, again, quite an interesting split, Adam, I think, too.
Yeah, and that's what we kind of, I suppose, encourage people to do, because we think actually there should be potentially an almost indefinite period for this, because a lot of the aircraft will naturally, I suppose, be naturally retired over a period of time, probably about 5 years. By the end of 5 years, most people have retired a lot of their aircraft, or the majority of the aircraft that are on the market now will be retired.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense, you know, keep the aircraft with the permissions that they've already been allowed to do. And then naturally, if a new aircraft came along that was registered, CE marked, you would probably buy it, because then you can make, you know, you can actually make use of the 30 or the 5 meters, which, you know, is good. So it kind of naturally figures itself out eventually anyway, doesn't it? I think, really, like you were saying. So
that's it. And the risk has already been assessed for legacy drones. That's why we have these distances in place.
Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer. The risk has already been assessed. Let's keep what we currently have for as long as possible.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So they are the results. So again, I think we pretty much expected that to sort of go that direction, I think, really. And I think then we have the CAA's kind of response to that as well, or the next steps, I suppose, really. So maybe, Adam, if you take us through, I think it's chapter 3, potentially, if we run through that bit, maybe. This is obviously in their document that is the CAP 2367 that they've produced as well. So am I getting ahead of myself, Adam, or is that about
right?
I think maybe just
slightly ahead. I just want to go through, so there's a few additional questions that was, well, as part of the consultation, they asked if there was any additional comments, which was interesting, because this is the point where you could put in specifically your thoughts to the CAA.
Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, cool.
So apparently there was 2,411 responses to the additional question, which was, you know, what additional comments do you have for or against extending the provisions? So the CAA have kind of grouped these 2,400 responses into a number of kind of categories, as were very similar responses, so they can gauge what the kind of the comments were. So The first one, environmental impact. And it says, a significant proportion of respondents were concerned about the environmental impact of having potentially thousands of UAS, many of which are still functional, becoming e-waste at the end of the transitional and legacy periods. You said that at the point class marked UAS are available, then the industry would see a natural retirement of legacy and transitional UAS. This is exactly what we've said. You know, we said the same thing. It was like, well, there will be a natural provision. Actually, it's a great thing that people have brought up the environmental impact, because it is something where I think actually we did discuss this. Actually, there is thousands of tons of e-waste going into landfill for usable pieces of equipment. So it's great that this was brought up. The next one was the economic impact. So the majority of responses focused on the economic impact of having to upgrade to class marked UAS after investing significantly in legacy and transitional UAS. The CA were told the current regulation, if allowed to continue, would push not only recreational but also commercial operators out of the market. Again, this is kind of, I suppose, comes to those people that are buying Mavic Air 2S, for example, that we're less than 12 months old now, and we spoke to so many people at the time, there's nothing we can do, these are the regulations. And then people were saying, is my aircraft going to be redundant? We're like, well, yes and no. It's like, well, you could do the GVC course, and but there's a cost impact to that, an economic impact, as it were. Or you'll perhaps have to fly in the A3 subcategory. It's great. It's great that people have kind of got on board, and this is the majority of people have said, this is ridiculous. We've spent a lot of money. Why are we being forced to ditch this, these expensive pieces of equipment for almost no reason?
And then they sort of carry on with investment uncertainty as well. So again, a lot of people were worried about, whether they should hold off from purchasing their new aircraft yet, or should they wait until the CE registered drones were going to appear? So again, there was a whole uncertainty about that, which again, I think these questions or these sort of answers aren't surprising to us, Adam, because we hear this kind of time and time again. So it's good that the CAA kind of understand this and they've put this forward as well, which is really good too. Another one that we've mentioned as well is the safety side of things. Like Adam said, these aircraft aren't going to suddenly get more dangerous, and there has been a very low amount of accidents reported with them anyway, so it seems like they're safe, so why now banish them 150 meters away when they've been flying within 50 meters perfectly well? So I think again that's another interesting one too as well. They also then talk about the CAA's role as well. I think a few people maybe, or a lot of people I should say, have potentially got a bit confused about kind of what the CAA's role is with regards to kind of this whole consultation, I suppose, really, as well. So obviously, again, it's like Adam has explained, they aren't able to change the law. They can just move people's opinions over to the government and say, this is what the general public think about it. This is evidence. And I'm sure they probably then say, we probably agree as well, I would say. And then that gives the government, as much evidence and as much kind of information as possible to make this final decision, I suppose, Adam. Is that about right?
That's it. It's like the CA is supposed to be the specialists here. They are supposed to be the experts in aviation as a collective to influence government, I suppose, is probably the best way of kind of putting it.
That's true. Influence,
And it's a good that they are, that they're listening to us, the community, about what we want and what our opinions are, so they can go, okay, yeah, this is actually the majority of people's opinion. This is how we should influence government now.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so that's it. So that's their job. So hopefully that makes sense to a lot of people as well. And that takes us on to the bit that I jumped ahead to a little while ago. So this is basically now what's going to happen next. So we've got all these results. They've listed them. They've explained kind of what everyone has been thinking, what happens now, essentially. So obviously the CAA, first of all, talk about that there has been a clear, significant majority who want to extend the transitional period, which again makes sense. 70% of people want to do that by over 2 months, which is really good. And also the CAA have said that actually this has been a valuable exercise, which is really good, and they've obviously learned a lot, and hopefully they'll do this a bit more with stuff, because I've often thought it would be nice if they did this with a lot of other things that have changed. So maybe now they've suddenly decided, actually, if we can please the people who are going to be actually having to follow these regulations, then, you know, that helps everyone in the grand scheme of things, doesn't it? I think so. That's I think what they're sort of saying here, in slightly less words than I've just said. now they're going to now recommend this outcome to the Department of Transport as well. So again, I don't think, do we want to go through that paragraph, Adam, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it's worth just I think I'll just read out, because this is the statement. So this is what they have recommended to the Department for Transport. So they have said all provisions should be extended indefinitely and the class marking scheme should be re-evaluated. This will form part of a larger investigation into the current UAS open category regulatory framework and what is most suitable for the United Kingdom. This is to ensure any solution suitably addresses the needs of the community as well as addresses safety and security risks in a proportional manner. Notwithstanding a re-evaluation of the class marking scheme, an extension should be indefinite, at least until the consumer can purchase class marked UAS on the open market. At that point, consideration could be given to the reintroduction of a transitional period. This would ensure that the regulated community has a suitable amount of time to naturally phase out older UAS, whilst at the same time having the option to purchase class marked UAS. This approach would significantly mitigate almost all areas of concern raised in the response to the consultation. So a couple of interesting points I do want to point at there. Obviously, straight away, they are going to recommend the indefinite extension, which is fantastic. That's what we want.
Yeah.
They've put a caveat in there. It's like, okay, well, you know, perhaps we could reintroduce a transitional period at a later date, which again makes sense. I think it'll just be organic, but they could put a natural kind of cut off in, say, I don't know, 5 years. Yeah. It's okay. Well, most people aren't flying these now. Let's put a 2 year transition period in. That'd be 7 years. By then, most people won't be flying legacy drones.
No, exactly.
I thought that was interesting. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is in regards to the, I could be wrong, but it's sort of talking about changing potentially the requirements of the certified drones. I'm not sure if I'm misinterpreting the statement. I just want to find the bit.
I think most of what you've just said, though, I think it almost sounds like that this is exactly how it was supposed to happen when it was introduced, you know, over 2 years ago. And I think obviously stuff has got in the way. And so we're not really asking for a huge change. We're just basically asking to shift this whole idea to when it fits, when basically these drones exist on the market. Because it was so silly, because everyone who came into this industry started to assume that their aircraft, you know, must be marked because they'd just bought it. And I think that was the confusing thing. So I think as soon as these aircraft exist on the market, that's when they can start the ball rolling with the legacy period, whatever it's going to be. And it all then kind of ties in nicely then, doesn't it? You know, people have the option. Should I buy a legacy drone or should I not buy a legacy drone then? It's nice. It works.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you find that bit, Adam, or not?
I think rereading it, perhaps I'm misreading it. It just says, notwithstanding a re-evaluation of the class marking scheme, and then it says an extension should be indefinite, at least so the consumer can purchase class marked UAS on the open market. So I don't know whether I'm misreading that as whether they will re-evaluate and ditch class marking schemes, or potentially put forward to ditch or change the requirements of the class marking, which will go against what's currently in Europe. That's obviously where we've adopted it from.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose we could. We've got the option, haven't we, to change now if we want to, I guess, whether that's good or bad.
That's it. I mean, I suppose technically they could introduce a retrospective. Yeah, we've always talked about, you know, well, at the moment, the law says they can't retrospectively class mark an aircraft. Well, actually, if they look at the legislation, they could write in there that actually if it hits, you know, X, Y, and Z, it comes under a certain class.
Yeah.
Potentially. That's just speculative there. That's nothing that is in there. It's just, you know, this is something they could potentially do.
Yeah.
Or put forward an opinion.
Yeah, that's it. So maybe a slight positive of the fact that now we can sort of semi make our own decisions to a certain extent. You know, I guess we have to always try and grasp the small positives that that might appear in the future. So yeah, so that's basically everything really. So I think very positive. I think when Adam sent this through, it was like, I didn't know what to expect actually. But when I read it, I thought, oh wow, actually, that's gone really well, which is nice. So I think hopefully as long as the government, you know, sort of go along with it too. And I think, you know, if the CIA are used to sort of influence and to help them out, then to me, I would say this makes sense. Yes, let's action this, I think, as well. So we'll put the link to this document in the description, just yep. So you can click through and have a read through it yourselves if you want to. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just a short little episode just to explain that and hopefully give you some good news for the weekend. Yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it, Adam, I think?
That's it. Like I said, you know, this isn't, they haven't actioned this. This is just an opinion at the moment, which is sent to the DFT. So I think actually the response to the consultations come through, I think, a lot faster than I think we anticipate. We sort of joked, I think, before, you know, like, well, this could be any time. Yeah. You know, it's come out pretty quick. You know, it's been maybe a month, which
not long,
in the grand scheme of things, is pretty quick going. So I think now it's over. If the CA can excuse my pun, over from the monkey to the oven, the meat grinder now.
I see, yes. Yeah, so, that's it. That could be the slow process, I imagine. But I guess it needs to be done by the end of the year, really, because then what happens then if it's not kind of, you know, there's no decision unless, because it would be hard to go, right, now everyone's in the legacy. Oh, no, now we've changed our minds again. That would be confusing, but who knows?
That's it. Hopefully it's a straightforward, they'll just go, yeah, we'll extend the legacy transition periods indefinitely. Yeah.
Next.
Done. Yeah, something just nice and simple.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it would be very, very understated, I think, if we were actually to watch it, I imagine. But yeah, but anyway, there we go. So like I say, very short episode, but just to sort of keep everyone up to date, I suppose, really, the normal service will be resumed next week. We've got, again, like we mentioned previously, we've got the Black Belt Barrister. So do definitely tune into that one on Wednesday. That's
going to be a two-parter. Episodes. Yeah, so just so you're aware, so it'll be out on, obviously, next Wednesday following this episode coming out, and then the second part will be 2 weeks after.
Exactly.
But it is a two-part. It should be a really, really interesting one about privacy, bylaws, and a few other topics, actually, we cover with the Black Belt Barrister.
Yeah, I re-listened to it actually when I was editing it, and it was, yeah, it is really interesting. Even though I've heard it before, it was still like, this is good. It's a nice listen. So yeah, definitely recommend it. So yeah, I think we'll call it quits there, and we'll see you in the next one, everyone. So fly safe and blue skies. See you soon.